listening to Serene Damacki on Weekend Evenings.
Hello, lovely to be with you, and it's that time of the night. It's mixtape time, and the theme tonight, cars. So just say you'd come by a considerable sum of money a couple of years ago, say a couple of $100,000. What would have been your ideal investment? Here's some thinking time. Tick, tick, tick. Okay, I reckon most of you would have said property, maybe gold. A cryptocurrency, perhaps. But I don't think many of you would have said a 1971 Toyota Land Cruiser or a 1999 Nissan Skyline, though they were impressive cars. Sort of.
Two Australian six-cylinder car makers are very anxious to see how Nissan has improved Skyline, Australia's car of the year.
Still got four-wheel discs?
Right, so.
A 3-litre fuel-injected six-cylinder engine?
Sure has.
Oh. Now the GXE has air conditioning standard.
Standard?
And new colours and trims.
The new Nissan Skyline, the winning Aussie 6.
And there's that Nissan 2-year warranty.
2 years?
2 years!
Nissan know-how, building the right cars for Australia.
2-year warranty, huh? Geez, that takes you back indeed. The 1999 Skyline's been it has seen a tripling of its value over the past 2 years. And the Land Cruiser, it's more than quadrupled its price from 2019. How come? We'll speak with Mark Haybittle, Managing Director of Supercar Secrets, which deals in veteran classics, in just a moment. But as it is 8 p.m. on a Friday night, that means it's mixtape time. And tonight's theme, songs about cars. Classic cars, cars in the title, the lyrics, maybe one in a film clip that you spotted, or perhaps a band name based on a vehicle. 1-300-222-702 or text us on 0467-922-702. And the usual advice, get in early. Ring us or text us with your song title and preferably tell us your backstory as well, why that particular car song is special to you. Mark, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Did that Nissan ad that you heard, anything for you? Do you remember that at all? I don't remember, me neither.
No, not too much in there for
me. Not too much in there for me either. But 2-year warranty, is that something that's... Isn't it about three? Do you get three these days?
About seven now. Or seven. With the new cars. Yeah, I think so.
So why is the classic car market booming and boomed through the pandemic? Have rev heads been stuck at home, needing a new car to tinker with and polish perhaps?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. I mean, the classic cars were always booming anyway. They were already on a pretty high trajectory. But COVID's just boosted all that because people have not been able to travel. So all the cash that they would have spent flying to Europe and taking the family to Europe, you know, they're just spending on other things. So it's homes, it's home renovations, and, of course, cars. And these cars, you know, they're all left around in limited numbers now. They're all special cars, special vehicles. And people love them and they want them and they want a bit of the past because the cars that we drive today are pretty mundane and pretty, they all look the same really, don't they?
Well, they do actually. And what sorts of cars have become classics that a few years ago would have been scoffed at?
Oh, look, I suppose the biggest sector at the moment is the Japanese cars, and they took off about three, four years
Hondas?
Ago. Yeah, a lot of the Hondas and Nissans, and going back to, well, it started with the Datsun 240Zs, and they really took off, and then Toyota Land Cruisers, as you were saying, the FJ40s, you know, they
I still can't wrap my head around that becoming a classic car.
Nor can I. I'm not a real fan of them. My business partner in the UK is, she loves them, and we regularly send a lot of FJ40s to the UK.
How much do they go for, these Land Cruisers?
Oh, the Land Cruisers, particularly in the US, anything up to 250.
You're kidding.
No, it's nuts. It's nuts.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, and equally, some of the early Range Rovers, that's we've got loads of those. We're restoring 26 two-door Range Rovers, and they're fetching 350 in the UK right now.
So what, are the Pajeros next?
Well, one would think so, but I think not. I really don't think they're going to go. They were just produced in too many numbers, and there's too many left, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
The Range Rovers are super rare and relatively in good condition.
Now, Shannon's auction house just sold a Ford Escort from the 1970s. It's military green, two doors. The spiel says it could do 0 to 60 in under 10 seconds, which doesn't seem that fast, but why $100,000?
Because it's...
And if you look at it, you're like, oh...
Yeah, it just looks like a two-door Escort, which is what it is. It's a two-door Escort. But
what's going on?
It's a two-door Escort with a slight difference, and the difference being that it's got a Lotus engine in it, and that's what they were manufactured with. Over here, they're known as the 1600 GT, but in the UK, they're known as the Lotus Twin Cam Escort. And believe it or not, in the UK, those cars are now fetching £70,000-£80,000, which is $160,000. So the guy that bought that Escort 2 or 3 days ago, he got a bargain at 100K.
I reckon.
For a two-door Escort.
I reckon. So the car makers stopped making locally made cars over the past decade. And has that meant that the final models rolling off the production lines have been seen as special?
Well, apparently so. If you go back to the Lloyd's auction that took place on the 30th and 31st of this year, there was an SS Commodore that went for $750,000.
No!
Yeah.
What year?
16, I think, 2016. Last one off the production line, or apparently there was some conjecture about that. But then the there was a Malu Ute, which was one of only four, which is a W3, and that went for $1,085,000.
Wow.
So big money
far
for a Malu.
Yes.
I mean, look, I like Malus, but not that much.
Not that much, no. And in terms of the SS Commodores, well, oh, look, from the power side of things, I used to be a bit scared of driving the Commodores, I have to admit.
Well, they're
a bit too strong for me back in my, you know, early driving days.
Yeah, they're a big car, and, you know, there's the handling is a bit subjective, you know. Some people like it, but yeah.
That's interesting that you mentioned that. I did, and this is probably why I got a little bit scared of them, is I remember I was going out, I think down Wollongong way, sort of here in Sydney, and I was working for a company then that provided you with cars, and I had a little Holden Barina, which was the car for me, but that had to go in for repairs, and they gave me a Commodore. And I was going on the on-ramp onto a motorway, and I'm doing 60-ish, starting to pick up speed, and I just somehow slip of I don't know what, lost a bit of control, and it spun in the middle of the motorway while a semi-trailer is oncoming. I was like, that's it. I am never getting into a Commodore again. This is not for me.
Was it wet?
No.
Oh, wasn't
it wasn't.
Wet?
No, and it wasn't even wet. It was, look, it's a driver thing. Like I said, I haven't driven them ever.
But yeah, not really. I mean,
the stability just didn't feel...
Yeah, yeah. The power delivery, they do have quite a lot of low-down torque. So when you put your foot down, it's instant. There's a lot of horsepower going through the rear wheels. So they can spin quite easily, actually. So don't blame yourself.
Like, oh, okay.
You wouldn't be the first one to do
it. It was a close call indeed. But, Mark, what about parts? If they are in limited numbers now, these old cars, what about parts? Can you get replacement parts from 1971?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the Range Rovers are a good example of that because when we first started restoring them a few years ago, we had to actually make some of the parts. But now, because so many people are restoring them and they're worth so much money, there's a whole parts network all over the world, mainly in the UK and Europe and Italy. But there's parts being made for all these guys. So they're going back now and remaking all the parts that they did back in the day.
Wow. Yeah. We're talking about Fords. We're talking about Nissans. Mazda's also sort of on there. What about Jeep Wranglers? And I'm mentioning this because this was probably one I wanted back in my, you know, early 20s.
Yeah, well, the Jeeps have got a bit of a following in the States and a little bit here, but they're not really a collectible. The early Jeep Cherokee is the really big one from the late 60s. They're a bit collectible, but they're not really...
No, the Wranglers.
No, the Wranglers haven't really hit the button yet. They're... because there were so many of them made, that's why.
Again, it comes down to that.
Yeah, it's a number thing. So at the end of the day, a lot of the cars that we do were the Aston Martins and Lotuses and so on, and real specialist cars, a lot of those are built in really small numbers.
Yeah.
And now there's even less of them available now because they were built in small numbers to begin with and then a lot have disappeared.
Yeah.
So, you know, numbers is a lot to do with it.
Fair enough.
Numbers and rarity and having special engine and transmission options, things like that.
Oh. Well, the other one that was on my list as one that I wanted as a bit of a dream car was the Toyota RAV4, you know, the two-door with the soft top?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's probably been made. I just don't see them anymore. They're all hard top cars now, and the RAV4 back in the, oh God, the early 90s?
Yeah, that's it.
That won't fall under classic collectibles anymore?
Oh, look, I think it probably will do in the end because because even the Suzuki Sierra, which was similar, it was a similar size and it also had a soft top as well. Those two vehicles at that time were quite rare at the time. And so now, you know, there's hardly any of them left anywhere. So they will hit the button at one point, but they haven't yet.
Oh, that might tempt me then, Mark. Yeah. That might tempt me indeed. 1300 222 702. If you have a classic car, what is the story? Or if you have a question for Mark, do give us a call here on ABC Radio's National Weekend Evenings. You're with me, Serene Damacki, and we are speaking with Mark Habiddle, Managing Director of Supercar Secrets, which deals in veteran classics. So who are the collectors? Are there many of them, Mark?
There's lots, yeah. Look, there's 380 that we deal with in Australia, and then we've got nearly 500 in the UK that we deal with, and we work between them. So that's part of the reason that we always know what's going to rise well before it rises. And so we always know which cars are going to go and by how much and for how long.
Where do they get the money and how do they... Well, yeah, where do they get the money?
A lot of them are high net worth individuals, to be fair.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have just done well in business along the way, you know, and they've started to build collections up. And some of these collections are like up to 1,000 cars.
Right, I was going to say how many cars do they keep? Yeah. Oh, my.
Like we've only got 386, so we're just like a minnow at the current moment. But some of the bigger collectors are up to 1,000 and sometimes beyond, you know.
So your business, you buy and sell and store for collectors?
Yeah, what we do is, well, we have a bunch of investors that invest with us and they just trust us to buy all the cars that we know are going to boom in value. So really most of the cars that we touch do 30 to 40% per annum at least.
So how do you know the next best thing?
Oh, we know. And
the
also,
next big thing.
Yeah, part of it's intuition and part of it's also talking to the collectors, because the collectors will always talk amongst themselves and they'll speak about the car that they really next want, and they'll talk to, you know, like you've got a guy in Queensland, he'll talk to some guy in Victoria, and then he'll go, oh, how about the Porsche 930 Turbo? And that was really one of the stories that actually started all this, was the 930 Turbo. We had a guy in Queensland talking about 930 Turbos, a guy in Victoria. So we went out and bought a lot of them, and then we had people in the UK wanting them, and it spread really quickly. It spread within 6 months.
That network that's building, isn't it? Well, I'm going to bring in Harry of Helensburg. He had a few classics. I think he still has a Mustang as well. Let me just bring him onto the line. Hey, Harry.
How are you going?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Mark, you might need to put your headphones on. Yeah, that's it. Can you hear Harry, Mark?
I can.
Excellent. Go on.
I was listening to you talking about 1970 Twin Cam Escort.
Yeah.
Had one of those. Had a 72 XU1 Tirana.
Nice.
Had RX3 Master.
Oh, have you seen what they're worth now, the RX3s? Over 100.
RX7 Master.
RX7, yeah, well, they're racing up the charts now. There was an FD RX7 just sold for $166,000 at Shannon's.
Oh, don't tell me about that. I'm still crying. What about a V6 Escort?
V6 Escort, that would have had to be...
V6 Capri.
Oh, V6 Capri. Yeah, well, they're a very popular car. They're about 70 grand's worth now for a V6 Capri. Two of them sold at Shannon's. Just recently.
Yeah, I know. And I'm still crying, mate. I have a history of racing motor cars and so forth, and the family has a history of racing motor cars. And I've been bought them. I bought this Escort, Twin Cam Escort, off the side of the road, which was damaged, and I built it up to a race car. And then I believe that is now in a museum in Queensland.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. It's been... restored and it's in a museum in Queensland. But, you know, I've got a 1964 and a half Mustang.
Oh, nice one.
289.
Yeah.
Four-speed manual. Yeah.
Well, they're a great classic. I mean, you know, they're like a stalwart of classics, they are, the Mustangs, and particularly the Eleanors, you know, like the Eleanors of something, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I just love to hear people restoring and keeping old motor cars, mate. They're just something that these young fellows will never see well, the kids of our day unless we keep them going, no one's going to know about them. And it's good to see that people keep them and look after them.
Harry, what year did you say your Mustang is?
1964 and a half.
Oh, where is my husband now? His name's Mark, by the way. Yes, the Mustang is his, definitely one of his babies in terms of cars are concerned. And 67, huh?
No, 64 and a half.
Oh, sorry, 64.
Yep.
Beauty.
Yep. One of the first ones to come to Australia, 64 and a half, they came to Australia.
So it was actually bought here, was it? It was Australian delivered, was it?
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay, wow. Because that's quite rare for Mustangs, as you know. Like, there's a lot of them being imported, you know.
What would they be worth?
Oh, yeah.
Mustangs really vary very widely. Just an ordinary Mustang can be quite low on price, but they go right the way through to sort of 500-600K for GT350s and Eleanors and things like that.
Yeah, great car.
Great car. Awesome car, particularly with a 289 in it. Very nice car.
Beauty. Love it. Harry, thanks.
Thanks, Harry.
Thanks so much. Yeah, you too. Have fun. Yeah, we are indeed.
Keep restoring motor cars.
I'll be doing that. We've got loads of them. Years worth.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, Harry.
Thanks, Harry. Harry of Helensburgh there. Oh, and the RX 7, he mentioned that, didn't he?
He did.
That reminded me of a friend, well, it was a boy, actually, and I think one of the things that attracted me to him in my teens was the fact that he had an RX-7.
Oh, they were a sexy
bucket
car.
Bucket seats, they really were.
You think about it, like the Mazda hadn't really done anything that was a low coupe two seats in it, like that, and that was with the rotary engine. It was a pretty awesome bit of kit, to be honest. Lovely car. They only really started going probably 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we were buying them for like $5,000-$6,000. Now they're 50 for a Series 1 RX-7.
Wonder if he's still got his. No, he ended up getting a ute after
Most
that.
People do.
Yeah.
Most people do. They get out of the sexy car and into a ute.
Into a ute.
It kind of happens. Yeah.
So where are we? I've lost my train of thought in terms of it's just, the conversation's just roll, does it? So cars go in fashion, then plateau, don't they? You talked about that.
Yeah, with the values. Well, that's right. The values of them, they'll rise and rise and rise. Really, the stuff that we do with never falls, but what they can do is they can plateau for a while. And a good example, I don't know if you remember the roundy-shaped Jaguar from the 60s that was called a Jaguar Mark II.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful thing, wood dash and leather seats and all that, really nice cars. And 2014, 15, 16, they boomed right up the charts. We bought a lot of them and sold a lot of them and dealt with a lot of collectors with them. And they went right up. But then in 16, 17, 18, 19, they flatlined for ages. Back in the day before COVID, they just started to move, and then as soon as COVID came in, they boomed again, and they just got another rise.
What reason would they have flatlined?
Yeah, really, because a lot of the people that liked them were getting quite old. Really appreciated that shape and that type of car. They were getting quite old, or they'd passed. One of the two. And that happened with a lot of cars from the 50s, which is why we don't touch any of those cars. We're basically doing 80s and 90s stuff, really, except the Range Rovers, which are from the 70s, you know. So.
Is there a collectible car that you can actually drive rather than warehouse? I mean, Harry's Mustangs.
Oh, that's a drivable
that's
car.
Like one
yeah,
of them,
that,
right?
Yeah, you can drive that every day. Yeah. Most of these cars you can drive every day. You really can. Particularly, we were talking about Land Cruisers earlier. Well, you can definitely drive them every day.
Are there any that you can't?
Only because of the value. Like, we've got quite a few Aston Martins, and I won't drive them every day. I mean, they're perfectly drivable cars, DB7s and DB9s. But if you park them at a shopping centre and someone damages the doors, and puts those little dents that you can get down the side of the car, then you've got to repaint the panel and it's not original anymore. And so it detracts the value by at least 30%.
Oh, it's not worth the risk at a shopping centre.
No, it's not worth it. So generally, like when I'm driving Astons, I'll drive them to and from home or I'll drive them to pick people up and things like that, but I won't leave them anywhere, That's the only thing that denotes the drivability. You can't really leave them anywhere. That's the only thing, you know.
So the boom at the moment, interest rates 1% if you put your money in the bank, but houses and property mean you need big bucks. Are cars like the Goldilocks investment if you have some money but not loads of money and that keeps pushing prices up?
Absolutely, because what's been happening in the UK recently with this collectible card market is that people have been buying in at £5,000, which is $10,000. Mm-hmm. And so you can get into it from $10,000 upwards. That's the great thing about it. Like, it's accessible, whereas with property, you've really got to find the deposit if you're going first time, you know, or you've got to secure the deposit from another property if you're already in the game. But cars, they're the ultimate way of doing it because you can get in from $10,000 upwards, you know.
Now, the stock market is way up. The property market is way up. Interest rates way low. What happens if the stock market falls? Interest rates shoot up?
Oh, it won't affect us.
No?
No, not at all. Because most of these cars are owned cash. There's not really any borrowings on any of these cars. So, the market's already there and it's already established. So it's not actually going to change if things around it get more expensive. So if the stock market was to collapse tomorrow, probably everyone would come and invest with us instead. That's what would actually happen, because it's more stable than the stock market, these cars. Because really, if you follow the history, which you can do online, of the prices of these, they just always go up. And the worst thing that ever happens to them is they go flat.
Right, then they just go up, then they stop, yeah, and then they go up again. But they don't
they never
go
drop.
Down.
If you get the right cars. You get the right cars. That's the secret. You've got to get exactly the right cars, the right colour combination, right trim options, right engine, right gearbox. It's got to be the right thing. Like the Escort was a great example.
Yeah, because that military green one we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a twin cam. So it's a special car, you know, and people will just, they'll cut off arms to get hold of twin cam Escorts because they're just such a great car.
So that sounds like, so you've got to get a lot right.
Oh, you've got to get everything right. There's about 65 things that you've got to get right. It's not something you can just wander in and just buy something off the street. It doesn't work like that. Yeah. And buying online is extremely dangerous in the sense that you really don't know what
you've got to
getting.
Go and see. So you've got to go and see it,
really,
take an evaluate, take an expert like yourself with you, for
that's
example.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. Like, we've been doing this for a long, long time, so it's easy for us. And we can, that's how we can predict what goes next, because we've been doing it and we know all the cars. But if you're getting into it from the outside, you really need to sort of have an expert with you. Yeah, yeah.
The pundits are saying that within the next 10 years, nearly all of us will be driving electric cars. So will today's classics become dinosaurs, like cake in the sense, hard to find fuel or mechanics for?
Yeah, look, a lot of people have asked me this, but I think the reality of it is that fuel will always be around for a long time to come. It'll have to be, because there's so many vehicles still left around the world. And these cars are so rare and unique that I think their values will just rise even more as the electric and hydrogen cars come on board, because the other thing, there's a more important aspect to cars than electric, which is the hydrogen side. And the hydrogen's going to have a much bigger future than electric is. But both of those options will still, they'll have a certain following, but the classic cars will have an even bigger following than they've ever had in the end, because they're so rare and you can't get them anymore. You know?
But what if you can't put them out on the road again? What if you can't?
Well,
drive them again.
Yeah. Well, look, if that time come, that would be a bit of an issue. I mean, all the cars that I drive around in, I'd like to keep driving.
You're like, well, that's just it, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd want it just sitting. I mean, I understand. You know, it could be decorative and it's a collectible, but it's a car. It's not, you know, like a model of a car. So, you'd want to take it out. You'd want to drive it.
I drive all the cars that we've got, and that's why we've got them, to drive them. We don't drive them. We don't have them just to look at. I mean, they're great to look at. They're great to sit in. Mm-hmm. The smell of the leather and the wood and just the ambience about being in one of these cars is fabulous. But at the end of the day, they've got to do something too, you know? like one of my pet loves is a Lotus Esprit V8 twin turbo. I've got six of those. Mm. And those cars are just so quick to drive and just such an amazing handling car with such great brakes. It's not just about what they look like, it's about what they feel like.
Yeah, I always found the shape of them a little bit weird.
They're a sort of Marmite car. Some people love them, some people
Marmite.
Don't.
Marmite, yeah. That's a great way to describe it, actually.
Yeah,
I always remember saying, well, he's just a bit weird, but I think that's, to your point, it just goes.
They're phenomenal to drive. Like, there's never a time when I've ever gotten any of these cars when it hasn't brought a massive smile to my dial. You just can't drive the car without having a supreme experience every single time. And that's what these cars are really all about. It's about the feeling.
Do you have a favourite, Mark? Is the Lotus?
Yeah,
the Lotus.
Yeah.
Is that your favourite?
Well, the one that I like the most, I've modified from 350 bhp to 650, and in a car that doesn't weigh hardly anything, that makes for a very quick car. It's an extremely quick bit of kit.
Oh my. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Paul, so good. So good. Look, I've got to do a call out for songs as we're getting. We want to chat a little bit more, but I'll do a call out for songs because we are getting close to our mixtape time. And the theme, of course, if you haven't guessed already, is cars. So if you've just joined us, you are with me, Serene Damacky, here on ABC Radio's National Weekend Evenings. And I am joined by Mark Habiddle. He's the Managing Director of Supercar Secrets, which deals in veteran classics. We are talking a bit about a classic car boom. And when I say classic, I'm not going back 40s, 50s. No, 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 just 70s. 80s, even the early 90s, could you say? Oh, in the 2000s even. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So what cars are not yet classics but might well be soon? Is the RAV4, the soft top that we were talking about, maybe one of them?
Well, it could be. It could be. And there's a lot of cars out there that are yet to go, that there really are. I mean, a lot of people have discovered the Japanese cars now or rediscovered them. So stuff like we were talking about RX-7s earlier, Nissan Skyline GTRs. Would you believe that there's a GTR, that's an R34 GTR V-Spec, that sold in Melbourne recently for just over $600K for a Nissan. This is a 2000 Nissan. It's a Nissan.
Or if you're in the States, Nissan. Do they say Nissan?
Yeah, yeah. And they used to be called Datsun, you know, like, so it's a 600K Datsun, you know. But they're a hell of a car. I mean, they're really something special to drive, you know. That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring Jackie, who's in Yerong Pilly in Brisbane, into our conversation, who had an Escort panel van, and she's got a question. Hey there, Jackie, can you hear me?
Hello. Hello.
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
So you had an Escort panel van?
It was a 1978 limited edition Ford Escort Sundowner panel van with bubble windows and Sundowner stripes on the side. And, yeah, I was wondering if that would be classed because it's a limited edition as a collectible now.
Yeah, look, very much so. Look, those vans.
They came in a couple of different colours. I had
There was a yellow, and there was the orange, and there was the brown, weren't there?
Yeah, I had the dark chocolate one. I liked that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a white one too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Are they classed as collectible now? Because they were a limited edition.
Well, very much so. Very much so. In fact, to be honest, I can't remember the last time I saw one. It would be a long time ago. They'd sort of line up with the Sandman panel vans, if you remember them. The Holden Sandman panel vans.
Yeah.
And they're very rare. Very, very rare. So, yeah, you've got something special.
There you go, Jackie. Yep, you've got something special there.
How much would it be worth?
It's something I haven't actually dealt with personally, so I don't know. But I'm thinking off the top of my head, probably somewhere around about the 25 to 30K mark.
Wow.
That's a wild guess.
I only paid $4,700 for it.
Sorry?
I only paid $4,700 for it back in the day.
Yeah, you would have done. But they're super rare. I mean, I know exactly the van you mean, and super rare. I can't remember the last time I saw one. Can't remember. No, long time ago.
Oh, wow.
There you go, Jackie. Hold on to it.
Oh, as Clint Eastwood would say, you've made my – oh, Hannah, he says, go ahead, make my day. You've made my night.
Thanks a lot, Jackie. Good on you. Wow.
Do you remember those? They were
vaguely,
they were bright
colours.
They were yellow, orange, and they had – right at the back, they had a black – a small black window that bubbled out at the side on each side.
I'm not getting a visual.
No, and they're very bright, and most of them sat up a bit at the back because of the way the suspension was on them. But, they were really cool.
Haven't seen one of those in a while.
No, it's been a while.
Mum had, and I don't remember the model, it was a Toyota. It was a Toyota, and it kind of embarrassed me a little bit, I have to admit. But I haven't seen one on the roads since Mum owned this one, and it was a sedan.
Yeah,
pretty large, pretty sturdy. Like you could tell, it was built like a tank.
Was it roundy on all corners?
Yeah, kind of roundy, but the
roof.
Yeah, four headlights and the roof. So it was a metallic blue, just almost like a royal metallic blue paint. And the roof, this was what was deceiving, was leather cream.
Yeah, vinyl.
Yeah, the vinyl.
It would have been a Toyota Crown.
Yes, yeah. Dad, well done.
It would have been a Toyota Crown Custom 2600. That's what it would have been.
Is it rare?
Crown Custom. Oh, well,
should she not have gotten rid of that?
Would you believe? I mean, really, they are just basically a boring standard sedan.
Yeah.
Except the mother of my daughter in Perth, she had one of those for many years. Her name is Mary, and she had a beige one of those for many, many years. And she ran it into the ground because that's what you did because they weren't worth anything at that point
exactly.
in time. Now they're a 25, 30 grand car.
Oh,
that's where they're at.
Mum, if you're listening. Because I remember she dropped me off at school, like, no, just park her. I'll walk. Park me here. Drop me off here. I will walk to school. I was so embarrassed from that car for some reason. I just did not
like it. At the time,
and the interior.
They just had vinyl seats, didn't they? Flat vinyl seats.
Yeah, like this off-whitey, dodgy kind of.
That's it.
But
if you remember, on the door trims, they had a little insignia on the door trims that was molded into the doors, which was the crown thing. And they had that going on.
I remember it on the back. But I don't remember it quite on the – no.
Yeah, no, it had that. They had that, the crowns. They actually were a bit of a thing. They were a bit ahead of their day because they had a 2.6-litre engine, five-speed gearbox. So they were quite a thing. Electric windows.
Yes, which was very exciting back in the day for me.
Actually, some of the early ones only had wind-ups, but they did eventually end up with electric windows.
Oh, yeah. Mark, you brought back so many memories. The Toyota Crown, wow.
Well, see, this is the thing about these cars, all of these cars, it's about memories. Mm. It's about the experience that you had. It's about either growing up or first dates or all those things. You remember all these things that are connected with these cars.
Absolutely.
And then you've got the driving fun of them as well. So that's why there's such a movement now. It's just amazing.
What about mileage? So you were
critical.
Yeah, okay. Critical. So does that fall into the criteria of everything has to be put, like the criteria has
it's
to just be bang on?
It's one of the 64 things you've got to get right. it really is. If it's anything over 60,000, either miles or kilometres, it kind of gets hard. It goes down rapidly after that. That's why all the cars we get and that we deal with are collector-grade cars. They're all very low Ks and they don't get driven much. Like I've got six Aston Martin DB7s. I haven't driven any of them for 5 years at all. They've got zero Ks on them in the last five years.
But you
years.
Do give it a whirl around the block, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of keep the engine going, make sure it's all good. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah. Actually, I'll take that back. Actually, one of them I've done about 6,000 or 7,000 Ks in. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Only because it's green.
So which ones have surprised you the most?
There's been so many. The Crown would be a damn good place
really?
To start. Yeah,
oh,
because
wow.
I really wouldn't have thought that would have gone. But because they're rare and in terms of there's just not many left. And a business colleague of ours recently bought a two-door pillarless Toyota Corona. And they are so rare because they're pillarless. That means that the windows wind down in the middle and there's no pillar at the back of the door.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can just put your hands through and
off you go.
Surf through it or whatever you want to do. And those cars now, he bought that at an auction in Queensland for not much because it needs a lot of restoration. But he was talking to a guy at the Classic Throttle shop in North Sydney there and he was saying that they're passing hands for $100,000 now.
Hmm.
That's for a Toyota Corona with a little 1800 or 2 litre engine in it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just got
special.
A zips about here and there. And, just like my
someone's
first
old shopping trolley.
Exactly.
But interesting enough, this car is actually a little bit special actually because we've had it back at our place and we had to actually put some fuel in it. Because it ran out of fuel and. So I did what most people would do. I opened the fuel flap at the back. If you remember on some of these Toyotas, they had a flap at the back where the number plate sat.
Yes.
And you used to lean them back and then you put then there'd be a cap and you put the fuel in there. Well, I did that, except it came straight out the bottom again. So I was a bit bemused as to actually how you'd actually put fuel in this car because obviously it didn't have a fuel tank. It just had the neck of the fuel tank, nothing else below it. It was that rusty. Then I opened the bonnet and I found that someone had put a fuel tank off a lawnmower on it.
Really?
Under the bonnet and attach it to the carburetor.
Oh,
so
that's
you
gold.
Put the fuel in under the bonnet on this one. It's
that's
special.
Gold. That's gold. That's gold. Well, my memories of my first car, we'll talk about this offline a little bit, my Daihatsu Charade. I think it was a 1990. 9 model, yeah, little white one.
And would have been a Charade CS, that's what it would have been.
CS, yes. And I loved it because it was lightweight in the sense that I could do donuts and it would go on the two wheels just a little bit without being too dangerous. Oh,
they go real well on two wheels.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
We used to rally them. Charade was actually, there was a special class built up for those because there was a lot of hail damage cars come in the 90s, and they built a class up specially for the Daihatsu Charade CSs, 1.3 litres.
That's it, and just a tiny little thing.
And I can assure you, when you go rallying them, you definitely have them on two wheels.
Absolutely.
And no wheels sometimes.
And then, of course, they'll overheat, and then you can't pop the, get it flying off in the, what is it, the cap for the
radiator. Oh, for the radiator. Yeah, the header tank. Yeah.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. This is brilliant. And on the text line, we've got Peter, crowns when cars had suspension.
Yes. Well, they were nice soft suspension, they did. The crowns were very, very soft and very comfortable. That was the great thing about them. Yeah. They were so comfortable to ride in. As I said, the mother of my daughter had one and we often went in this car and it was really smooth, really comfortable.
Good experience indeed. Yeah. And this has been a great experience. We've got to go to your car song, Mark. I think we could just keep talking cars for the rest of the night. What do you reckon?
I spend my whole day, every day, talking cars, day and night, either to people in the UK or people
and
here.
And I didn't even know I had it in me. I'm like, how you've
well,
just
there
brought
you go.
Back. There you go. You just,
go.
I think, cars. Like you said, cars. And we've all got memories of them.
We do.
Somehow, some way. You've picked a great one to, I suppose, kick off our playlist tonight. You've gone with the Eagles. Tell us why you've chosen Life in the Fast Lane.
Well, if you listen closely to the lyrics on Life in the Fast Lane, it's all about going quick. And I've spent all my life going really quick in really exciting cars, either rallying them or racing them or driving on the street. Under the speed limit, of course.
Fantastic.
But
fantastic.
Yeah, if you listen to the lyrics, it's spot on for, you know, racing away from the traffic lights and all that stuff.
Well, we're going to have to play it. It'll kick off our mixtape for tonight. Hey, would you stick around for a few minutes, Mark, just in case? We'll see. We'll keep the conversation going. We'll play some good music. Mark Haybittle, Managing Director of Supercar Secrets, and I will remind you, yes, our Friday night mixtape. We've got some time, don't we? Yeah, we've got plenty of time before the news. But get in early. Do not wait until the hour is over to text yours in or call in with your song. And I'd love to hear the backstory as well. That's always fun. So 1-300-222-702 is the number to call. Have a chat with me. Have a chat with Mark. We'd love to hear about your car song, why you've picked it. Or if you want to text yours in, please do so. 0467-922-702. And to start us off with the Eagles, Life in the Fast Lane.
Pretending not to notice, she was caught up in the race. Out every evening.
It's a good... Great song there. Eagles with Life in the Fast Lane. Nice pick there, Mark. And you're right, it's all in the lyrics, isn't it?
It is all in the lyrics.
Yeah. Hey, I've got to call this text out to you from Michael from Greensboro. He has picked up on our conversation we were talking about, the Toyota Crown. And he says, Japan keeps making the Toyota Crown. They use them as taxis.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And there's loads of them.
So what, there would have been, well, newer models? Are there any newer models or not?
Oh yeah, they kept on building the Crown, and a couple of colleagues of mine, they actually still import Crowns from 3 or 4 years old.
Oh yeah. Wow, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, no, all Crowns are still being made. There's the Crown and the Crown Custom 2, and there's quite a few variations of the Crown. They're quite a sexy car now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm going to have to look this one up then.
They've come a long way.
Thanks for that one, Michael from Greensboro. And we are going to play your song choice. You've gone with Cars Are Cars by Paul Simon. And don't forget, get yours in to add to our mixtape tonight. The theme is, well, all things cars, really. It could be in the title. It could be in the song. I don't know, maybe you spotted you know what makes me think of Prince with his little red Corvette?
Yeah.
Might be one as well. 1-300-222-702 or text yours in on 0467-922-702. We've got about 10-ish to 15 minutes before we head to the news, so don't wait too long. All right, Cars and Cars by Paul Simon.
Cars are cars all over the world. Cars are cars all over the world. Similarly made, similarly sold. In a motorcade, abandoned when rolled. Cars are cars all over the world. Cars are cars all over the world. Cars are cars all over the world. Engine in the front, jack in the back. Wheels take the brunt, pinion and a rack. Cars are cars all over the world. Cars are cars all over the world. But people are strangers. They change with the curve. They shut down their borders and think they're immune. They stand on their differences and shoot at the moon. But cars are cars all over the world. Cars are cars all over the world.
You could drive them on the left.
Susceptible to theft. In the middle of the night. Cars are cars all over the world. Cars are cars all over the world. Cars are cars all over the world.
Paul Simon there with Cars Are Cars, and that's from Michael from Greensboro. Thanks for that one, Michael. I actually haven't heard of that song before. I haven't heard of another of you, Mark. Huh?
No, I've not.
Something new.
Yeah, something new. Always good to do something new.
That's right. It's Friday Night Mixtape time here on ABC Radio's National Weekend Evenings, and you're with me, Serene DeMackie, and we're with, I've got a bit of a co-host tonight for this hour, Mark Havidal. He's the Managing Director of Supercar Secrets, and we are talking, well, all things classic cars and all things cars and all songs cars. So we're going to go to Fee from Lilyfield, who texted her choice in. She's gone with Taxi by Harry Chaffin. Ooh, you know this song, don't you, Mark?
I've heard it, yeah. I've heard it.
Like
it? Harry Chaffin? Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Or I wonder if it's one of those songs where I play it, I'll be like, I don't know.
It'll come back to you.
That's it. Let's see.
It was raining hard in Frisco. I needed one more fare to make my night. A lady up ahead waved to flag me down. She got in at the light. Oh, where you going to, my lady blue? It's a shame you ruined your gown in the rain. She just looked out the window. She said 16 Parkside Lane. Something about her was familiar. I could swear I'd seen her face before. But she said, I'm sure you're mistaken. And she didn't say anything more. It took a while, but she looked in the mirror. Then she glanced at the license for my name. A smile seemed to come to her slowly. It was a sad smile, just the same. And she said, how are you, Harry? I said, how are you, Sue? Through the too many miles and the too little smiles, I still remember you. It was somewhere in a fairy tale. I used to take her home in my car. We learned about love in the back of a Dodge. The lesson hadn't gone too far. You see, she was gonna be an actress, and I was gonna learn to fly. She took off to find the footlights. I took off to find the sky. Whoa, I've got something inside me to drive the princess blind. There's a wild man wizard, he's hiding in me. Illuminating my mind.
Thanks, Fee. From where are you from, Fee? Lilyfield, for that request. Taxi, Harry Chafin there. Really distinct voice, isn't it, Mark? You recognise that song. I actually did it. I haven't heard it before.
Yeah, no, it came back to me after a few lines, but he's a very, very distinctive singer and tells a great story. Like, if you follow the lyrics through on that, it's a real story.
Yeah, good one.
Brilliant.
Mixtape time here on ABC Radio's National Weekend Evenings. You're with me, Serene Damacki, and I'm joined by Mark Haybittle. He's the Managing Director of Supercar Secrets, and we were chatting earlier about the classic car boom, but I'm talking about like the 70s and the 80s, that sort of thing. And now we are just hearing some great songs that are all about cars. There's a Bruce Springsteen request here, Mark, that I want to tell you about. But before I do, there is a question for you from David. He says, I have a 2004 Porsche car. I have a 2004 Porsche, the Cayenne, turbo in mint condition with 80K. Are these something that will raise in price?
They will do in a while. It'll take a bit for them to go because at the moment they've sunk right down from the original purchase price, which was well over 150K. But they will in the end because there's less and less of them left around at that era. But you're probably going to have to wait probably another 5 or 6 years, I'd say, before they start to go.
That's not too bad.
No.
Isn't it?
I mean, they're a heck of a lot of car for not much money, really. Mm. I mean, when you look at what you get, they're awesome inside. They go. They handle quite well. They're quite a bit of a thing. They really are. Mm-hmm. And so they're one of those cars that deserves to go, but it's just got to wait its time. And being 04, you know, it's not that old, really.
Mm-hmm. Its time will come.
It will. It will.
All right, we're going to go to this text from Mike, who's in Mike from Malini. Malini, M-A-L-E-N-Y. Malini. Tell me, Stephen. Malini, yeah.
Malini, yeah.
So he's gone with Bruce Springsteen. Now we've got to play Bruce Springsteen, Racing in the Street. He says, surprisingly emotional lyrics.
Oh, very much so. And it's an all-time classic. What a song. What a song.
Waiting tonight down in the parking lot. outside the 7-Eleven store. Me and my partner, Sonny, built her straight out of scratch, and he rides with me from town to town. We only run for the money, got no strings attached. We shut him up and then we shut him down. Tonight, tonight, the strip's just right. I wanna blow him off in my first heat. Summer's here and the time is right for racing in the street. We take all the action we can meet, and we cover all the Northeast state. When the strip shuts down, we run them in the street, from the fire roads to the interstate. Now some guys, they just give up living and start dying little by little, piece by piece. Some guys come home from work and wash up and go racing in the street. Tonight, tonight, the strip's just right. I wanna blow them all out of their seats. We're calling out around the world. We're going racing in the street. I met her on the strip 3 years ago in a Camaro with this dude from L.A. I blew that Camaro off my back and drove that little girl away. But now there's wrinkles round my baby's eyes, and she cries herself to sleep at night. When I come home, the house is dark. She sighs, baby, did you make it all right? She sits on the porch of her daddy's house, but all her pretty dreams are torn. She stares off alone into the night with the eyes of one who hates for just being born. For all the shutdown strangers and hot rod angels rumbling through this promised land, tonight my baby and me, we're gonna ride to the sea and wash these sins off our hands.
Ah, Bruce, that's gorgeous. Bruce Springsteen, Racing in the Street. Mark, gorgeous. And like you said, a lot about what we're talking about.
Ah, look, it's all about what life used to be like when you could go racing in the streets.
Absolutely.
You know, and how things changed.
Mark Haybiddle, it has been delightful chatting with you about cars and then having you hang around for our mixtape. Thank you so much.
Oh, look, it's been an absolute pleasure, Serene. It's been awesome.
Mark Haybiddle, Managing Director of Supercar Secrets, which deals in veteran classics. Do stay with us. The news is next. Then to the little town of Stroud in New South Wales, which is continuing a 60-year tradition next month with its brick and rolling pin competition. So how did this competition come about? We'll find out next hour. Do stay with us here on ABC Radio's National Weekend Evenings.